That's our ring time for Lum and Abner, brought to you by the makers of Alka-Seltzer. Well, at Abner's instigation, Lum attempted to get out of writing a one-act play for the Parent Teachers Club of Pine Ridge. But his phone call was answered by Miss Emmeline, whose flattering remarks about Lum's playwriting ability quickly confirmed his own delusion that he was indeed a great writer. And the deal is still on. Well, we'll soon see what happens next. Friends, no doubt during the warmer weather, most of you spend more time in the garden or enjoying outdoor sports. Now, since such exercise may lead to muscular aches and pains, be sure to have plenty of Alka-Seltzer handy. You see, Alka-Seltzer can help give you the extra fast relief you want for those sore, aching muscles. Yes, Alka-Seltzer's extra effective pain-relieving analgesic is just as helpful for muscular aches and pains as it is for occasional headache. Another extra value you get in Alka-Seltzer. So make sure to have an extra package of extra refreshing, extra pleasant Alka-Seltzer on hand next time those aching muscles make you uncomfortable after a day of unusual activity. That extra package of Alka-Seltzer may come in mighty handy because a drugstore may not be open when you need Alka-Seltzer most. So next time you go to the drugstore, buy two packages instead of one. Then you can keep one at home and take one with you wherever you may go. Simply ask your druggist for genuine Alka-Seltzer in either the 30 or 60 cent size. And when your tablets get down to four, that's the time to buy some more. And now let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, as we look in on the little community today, we find Abner in the Jot'em Down store answering Cedric's questions about Lum's latest venture.
Listen. Mr. Abner, is Mr. Lum actually writing a play for the parent and teacher's outfit to put on?
Wait a minute. Not so loud, Cedric. He's right back there in the feed room writing on it now.
Oh, it's the secret?
No, but he don't want to be disturbed.
Oh. Well, what's he writing about?
I don't know. I ain't got the least idea. I doubt if Lum has neither. He can't write no play, Cedric.
He can't, huh?
Why, of course not.
Well, I thought you said he was.
Oh, he's back there scribbling. Got a tablet and pencil back there.
Oh, well, I can do that.
Yeah, do it as good, too. Oh, of course, he just bragged himself into this. Now he figures all he can do is go ahead and write something, no matter what it is. Yesterday, I talked him into calling up Miss Seastrong. She's the president of the club, you know, and telling her that he couldn't do it.
What'd she say?
Well, he never talked to her. Miss Emmeline answered the phone instead, and she started casting compliments right in Lum's face about how wonderful he was and how wonderful it was that he was a playwright, and even old Lum. He swallowed it all. Got the bragging on himself worse than ever. So now he's stuck. He's got to go through it.
Yes, Mom.
If you ask me, old Lum's in for some trouble, too.
Oh, yeah. Leave all right near, please.
Cedric, now just leave that playwriting business alone. Don't you get in trouble.
Well, I read one in the third reader. Said, Ned's dog is named Rover. Well, Rover loves Ned. Well, I think that's a nice story.
Well, yeah, Cedric, but that ain't enough to put on a whole play with. You'll get yourself into trouble if you start that playwriting.
Everybody's got trouble nowadays, looks like. Ernest Macmillan sure has.
Ernest?
Yes, Mom. You know, when he got out of the Army a little while ago, he studied some kind of machine work.
Yeah.
And he got a promise of a good job in the city, so him and that girl he's been going with, you know, the one that lived over at Cherry Hill, they got married.
Yeah, I know that, yeah.
Well, so they went there to the city and couldn't find no place to live, so Ernest couldn't take the job.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. So Ernest is back home here now. She's back over at Cherry Hill living with her folks till they get things figured out.
That is an awful shame. All on account of not finding a place to live, huh?
Yes, Mom.
Well, couldn't they find no place at all?
No, Mom.
Nobody you'd thought somebody would have shared their place with them. Leastways till they could have got started.
Well, they might not have got a house there. They're going to make payments on it, but somebody come along with the cash and bought it.
Huh. That's a fine way to treat our soldiers. Here they went over there and done all our fighting for us and give up their jobs here at home and everything else. And now when they get back here, they can't even find a place to live.
Oh, it's awful.
Right, Bogus, we got to do something about this situation, Cedric. We've got to do everything we can to see that them boys have a chance to live a decent life.
Hey, Carter, I wonder if you'd mind...
Hey, what doggies, you scared me to death, Mom. Don't slip up on me that way. How are you coming with your play?
Well, I got it about half wrote, and I was just wondering if you and Cedric would mind to read it over.
Read it over?
Yeah, and sort of act it out so as I can hear what it's going to sound like.
Well, law me, Lama, I don't know nothing about play acting. I don't know about Cedric.
Well, I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Well, we put on a play in the Third Reader the other day, and I was a big star in it.
You was, huh?
Yes, Mom. We put on Snowbird and the Seven Dwarfs.
Snow White, Cedric.
Yes, Mom. And there's just seven boys in the Third Reader, so they let me be one of the dwarfs.
Well?
I was dopey.
I don't doubt it.
I mean, that's what they call me. That was my name in the play.
Yeah, well, it fits you all right.
Yeah, he's the one that don't say nothing.
Well, how could you be the big star, then?
Well, I don't know, but I sure done it. Must just have natural talent, sir. I know every time I come on the stage, I got big laughs.
He did, huh? Oh,
yeah. Fact is, I heard a lot of folks say afterwards that I was the biggest dwarf they ever seen.
Bogus, I never knowed you was that good, said
he. Oh, yes, Mom.
Well, I reckon we can act your play out for you then, Long. Of course, I know I can't keep up with Cedric.
Well, I don't want no fancy acting. I just want to see how it sounds.
Yeah, well, I'll do it for you.
I work so hard on this, I don't know where it's good or not.
Yeah, well, Cedric will make it sound good. Here, hand it to us. We'll do it for you.
Well, here, I reckon one of you will have to look over the other shoulders. Kind of, there's just one copy.
Oh, well, that's all right. Yeah, you stand back of me, Cedric.
Oh, yes, Mom.
Well, here, not so far back. You've got to read this with me.
Oh, I've got to say something, too, huh?
Why, of course.
Oh, this is going to be harder than Snowbird and the Seven Dwarfs.
Who's supposed to be who in this thing, Mom?
Well, it don't make much difference. Most all the people in it are women.
Women?
Yeah, they told me to write it that way on account of it'll be mostly women folks acting in it.
You mean me and Cedric has got to be women in here?
Yeah, just to see how it goes.
Oh, no, me.
It's a play about kings and queens and all that.
Card game?
No, mostly queens and princesses.
Oh, that kind of.
Where it starts out there, the princess is talking to her handmaid.
A handmade what?
Handmade nothing.
Huh?
That's what they call their servants in them days. Handmade.
Oh.
I think they call them that because they waited on them hand and foot.
Why didn't they call them hand and foot maids then?
No, just handmaids. All you have to do is read the play. I never ask you to rewrite it.
All right. I'll be the handmaid. What, Cedric, the foot maid?
Oh, I don't know nothing about foot maiden.
Well, you can be the handmaid then, Cedric.
All right. Actually, I'm more the dopey type, though.
Yeah, let's see now. What does that make me, then, if he's a handmaid?
Well, you have to be the princess. Now, go ahead. The princess speaks first.
Yeah, sure. All right. Oh, Gunnover!
Not so loud, Ed.
That right, Gunnover?
No, Guinevere.
Oh, Guinevere, huh? Oh! Thought that the fella that wrote them Gunnover's Travels.
No, that's another fella.
Oh!
Guinevere! Though, I might rewrite that for him.
And I hate us and this father. He got me lifting. And this bothers him. Go ahead there, Winning Bear.
Oh, handmaid. Yes, my dearest princess, everyone knows he is a snake within the weedus.
Alas, I cannot marry him, for I am actual in love with Vernon Vassal. He is naught but a castle hand, honest but poor.
Go ahead, Cedric.
Oh, this is pretty. Couldn't we do Snowbird and the Seven Dwarfs?
No, Cedric.
I'm an awful good dwarf. Nice big one.
Just read what's wrote there, Cedric.
Just one. Whereabouts is the place?
Right there, Vernon Bear.
Handmaid. You are a princess and cannot marry a common poor man. Charlie Mange would not let thou doest hit us. A trumpet blow outside.
Sir, I don't hear it.
Wait a minute. Cedric, weren't supposed to read that. That's just something you hear off stage. All right, Abner, go ahead. It's your turn.
Oh, hark! I hear Papa, the king, coming to take me to the wedding. Does Charlie play the trumpet?
No, that's one of the servants. Oh. You know how they always blow them horns every time somebody comes in a room in the castle?
Oh, them with the flags hanging on. Yeah, I saw them pictures over there. See where. Oh, you hear. To take me to the wedding. Oh, Guinevere, what can I do it? Oh, how I love us, my dear Vernon Vassal. Oh, how I love us him. Oh, how
all right, Abner, stop. Uh-huh. It's terrible. I know it is. Don't go on. I can't stand to hear no more of it myself.
I thought we were doing pretty good.
Oh, it ain't you. It's the play. No use going on with it.
Well, you got to now, Lum. Them women are depending on you. They got to put this on Friday, and they're supposed to rehearse it tomorrow.
Yeah, wait a minute. I think I know what to do. Huh? Would you fellas help me make some copies of this thing? You see, I believe I'll need 19.
19?
Yeah, I believe that's how many women there are in the club.
Well, me, that's a lot of copping, Lum. I don't believe my hand would hold out that long. My tongue would get tired lolling that much.
Well, all I want you to copy is just the princess's lines.
Huh?
And then send one copy to each woman in the club.
Well, I wouldn't do that now, Lum. Each one of them's liable to get the idea she's going to be the princess.
That's exactly what I'm wanting them to think.
Huh?
Unless I don't know the psychology of the feminine-female mind, when them women gets together for rehearsal, there's going to be the dead blamedest one hair-pulling match this town has ever saw.
You mean it'll make them so mad they won't put the play on Friday?
Put it on. They won't be done fighting before next Tuesday.
Uh-oh. Now what's going to happen? Lum, I hope you figured this out right this time, because if you haven't, look out. Well, be sure to join us again in our next regular visit down in Pine Ridge. Friends, have you ever come home from a weekend wringing wet because you were caught in an unexpected summer rainstorm? And when you arrive late at night, tired, sneezing, and sniffling with the first signs of a cold, you wanted just one thing, Alka-Seltzer. Well, Alka-Seltzer is a mighty wise choice when you have a summer cold, because it can give extra fast relief from your headache or feverish discomforts, thanks to its extra-effective, dependable analgesic sodium acetyl salicylate. You'll also find that extra-pleasant, refreshing Alka-Seltzer offers extra value because it's good not only for colds, but also for headaches, acid indigestion, and the muscular fatigue that often takes the joy out of your weekend trips. So next time, be doubly sure of getting all these extra benefits by buying an extra package of Alka-Seltzer from your druggist.